Good morning.
Good morning.
Everybody can hear me fine, I guess. I may be loud sometimes. I serve in a small rural country church, and we don't have a sound system or nothing. A lot of times I get loud, and people's got to hear. So I may get loud today with our sound system here. Let me just begin by saying it's wonderful to be here. I met Chris probably 3.5 years ago now, maybe 4. I felt that God was calling me to ministry, and I knew Jeff Farmer, and he and Chris and myself, we met at a Mexican restaurant, and we talked a minute about what God was doing in my life, and you know, what my fears, for one. You know, sometimes when God's dealing with us and working with us, we like a lot of the biblical figures, and we say, "You sure? Me?" And but anyway, I felt like Paul a lot. You know, I was chief of sinners, and for God to redeem somebody such as myself and then call me into ministry to share His love and to share His word with others was kind of overwhelming for myself. But anyway, I met Chris through that, and we've come to know each other through just ministry. Thankful for Chris. I'm thankful for this group here. I'm thankful for y'all's willingness to stand on the authority of Scripture and worship the one true God. Thankful for that. Let us go to the Lord in prayer before we get started. Our most gracious and holy Heavenly Father, Lord, as we gather here in this place today, Father, I invite your Holy Spirit to fill this place, to fill our hearts, to may it well up inside of us. And Father, as we prepare our hearts and prepare our minds, Father, I ask that if anything is on our mind, if anything is distracting us, if anything is drawing our attention away from anything other than worshiping you this morning, Father, I ask that you just remove that. Father, open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds, and may we not only hear what it is that you have to say, may we understand what it is. And Father, may you place a desire within our hearts to do whatever it is that you say. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be reading a text this morning from the Gospel of Mark. It's Mark chapter 1. It's verses 29 through 39. If anybody would like to follow along, it's Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. Mark chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading in verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her by the hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogue and driving out demons. This is the word of God for the people of God. I'm going to begin this morning by at the beginning of Mark's gospel. Mark begins his gospel, and he gets right to the point. Mark chapter 1, verse 1, he says, "The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God." Mark gets right to the point. He moves very quickly throughout the gospel. And he tells us very quickly the good news about Jesus and the Messiah and the Son of God. And the gospel writer, he wastes no time in identifying who Jesus is. This fast pace will continue throughout the Gospel of Mark and lead us up to our reading today. As Mark begins writing, he tells about John the Baptist coming in the wilderness, and then he tells about Jesus as he comes to be baptized by John the Baptist there. He tells about Jesus' baptism and then how he is drawn out into the wilderness for tempting and fasting and things such as that. Jesus returns after he's been strengthened and he begins to preach. Jesus' very first message was these words, verse 15. The time has come, he said. It's red letter. Jesus is speaking. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Repent. Turn. Turn from your evil, wicked ways. Believe the good news. The Gospel of Mark continues on and leads up to our reading for today. Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee. He's walking along and he sees two sets of brothers. He calls them. He tells them to follow me. And the scripture tells us that immediately they stopped what they were doing and they followed Jesus. Simon Peter, his brother Andrew, they were there fishing. They were mending their nets. They left their nets. They come and they followed this Jesus. James and John, they were in their boat fishing with their father. Jesus called them and they left their father there. They immediately followed him. Jesus and his four new disciples, they head into Capernaum. They get there in Capernaum, it's the Sabbath, and Jesus, he goes into the synagogue and he begins to preach. The people that are gathered there, they immediately notice that something is different about Jesus. They listen to him. They listen to what he has to say. They immediately recognize that something is very different about this Jesus. They say that he speaks with one with authority. And they see this power in his words. And even the scripture says that it's not like the teachers of the law of that day. The scribes and the Pharisees, they had no power compared to the power that Jesus Christ had. There's a man there in the synagogue that day as Jesus is teaching. And he's possessed by an impure spirit. And the impure spirit, it cries out to Jesus. And Jesus cast out that impure spirit. The impure spirit seems to want to resist. The man begins shaking violently. Yet, Jesus has authority over the impure spirit. Mark's gospel states that it allows shriek. The impure spirit comes out of the man. The people there that have witnessed this, they're amazed. They've never seen anything like this. In verse 27, says these words. The people were so amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching and with authority? He even gives order to impure spirits and they obey him. And it says in the scripture that the news about him traveled all throughout of Galilee. I shared that. I backed up and got a recap of the beginning of Mark's gospel to get us to our reading today. And it's still moving in such a fast pace. Jesus and the four, the two sets of brothers, the new disciples, they leave the synagogue. And I can just imagine what their thoughts were. Two sets of brothers, newly called disciples of this Jesus of Nazareth. I can just imagine what they thought. I can imagine what the conversation was among them, Simon and James and John and Andrew. I can imagine they said, did you see that? Did you see what this guy did? Who is this guy? The impure spirit knew exactly who Jesus was, remember? But I wonder, did these four fresh followers of Christ, did they know exactly who Jesus was? Did they understand what they had witnessed? And I wonder if they asked themselves the question, could he do it again? Like the crowds, I'm sure that they thought that that's amazing. That's amazing what Jesus has done. And perhaps Simon Peter was thinking, maybe he could help my mother-in-law. Maybe there's something that he could do. For whatever reason, our text tells us that Jesus and the four brothers, they go to Simon Peter's house. Our reading today tells us that Simon's mother-in-law is in bed and she's sick with a fever. This isn't a normal fever. She's sick, she's in bed. The Bible says that they immediately told Jesus about this sickness. The Gospel of Luke, you know, the great physician, if you will, recounts this particular passage as well. And he says that it was a high fever. Was she near death? We don't know. Had she been in bed for an extended period of time? Not sure about that either. But what we do know is she's sick and she's in bed and she has this fever. Mark chapter 1, as I read just a little bit ago, verse 31. It says these words. So he being Jesus, he went to her. He took her hand. He helped her up. The fever left her. Jesus heard that she was sick. She had this fever. She was in the bed. He went over. He got her by the hand. He lifted her up. And her fever was gone. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says the fever was gone. It's gone. It's not getting lower. It's not improving. She's not feeling better. It's not going away in a few hours. The Bible said that it's gone. The King James translation says immediately. The Living New Testament says suddenly. It was gone. There's something about this touch of Jesus. In chapter 9 of Mark's Gospel, Jesus has another encounter with an impure spirit. The disciples, they have tried to cast out this impure spirit, but they were unable to do so, and Jesus hears them arguing. He comes to where they're at, and he's curious about what's going on. What is it that they're arguing about? Mark chapter 9 recounts this story and says these words. Jesus asked them, "What are you arguing with them about?" A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes at his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. So they brought him to Jesus. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground, rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, 'How long has he been like this?' 'From childhood,' he answered. 'It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us.'" "If you can?" with a question mark, said Jesus. "Everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me to overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse, and many said, "He's dead." Listen to verse 27. "But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, And he stood up. There's that touch again by Jesus. He took him by the hand. He lifted him to his feet, and the boy stood up. The people there in the crowd thought he was dead. Certainly he was dead. Y'all remember the story of Jairus' daughter? Jesus gets there, and the funeral's already started. There's people wailing and they crying, and I want you to listen to what Jesus says. This is Mark chapter 5, verse 39. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. Listen, verse 41. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kaum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Amen. Verse 42. Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. He took her by the hand. He lifted her up. She began to walk around. Mark chapter 1, we got a man with leprosy. He comes to Jesus. Listen to this account. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. I shared all these accounts for one common issue or one common reason. Something miraculous happens when Jesus touches an individual. We've witnessed it in these accounts from the gospel of these individuals that need Jesus' help, and Jesus comes along and he touches them and they're healed. Immediately the fever's gone. Immediately the leprosy's gone. Immediately they rise from the dead or from sleep and stand again. I mentioned Jairus' daughter earlier. Do y'all remember the events that led up to her? Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 34. The woman with an issue of blood. Jesus had crossed over again to the other side of the lake. A large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came and he saw Jesus. He fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she got worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. There's also something about those that touch Jesus. It's not just his touch to others, but others that touch him. All of this talk about Jesus and Jesus' touch and touching Jesus, one might ask, what does that mean for us? We can't physically touch Jesus, can we? We can't physically be touched by Jesus, can we? I say to you this morning, and many of you know this, if we are born again in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit has come, God has come to dwell within us. He's not only touched us, but he lives in us. And not only in us, but through us. And he has some sort of work that he wants to do in and through our lives as disciples of Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus' words in John chapter 15. I'm sure y'all are familiar with that. Jesus talks about the true vine. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He talks about bearing fruit. But he says something in John chapter 15 that always stands out in my mind. He says these words, John chapter 15, verse 5. It's red letter. Jesus is speaking through the entire discourse. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Listen to what he says. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We see people all the time, don't we? I do. I see people that are separated from Christ or appear to be. There's no fruit in their life. They reject God. But it looks like they can do everything. They have stuff. They have things. They have a family. They have a great job. They have all these things that the world sees as great things. But yet Jesus says, apart from him, you can do nothing. It's true. Apart from Jesus, we can do nothing that has any eternal value. We can do nothing that has any value to the kingdom of God. And Jesus says so. Apart from me, you can do nothing. There's something about this touch. There's something about this connection. There's something about us touching Jesus and Jesus touching us. Something about the Holy Spirit that dwells and lives within our life that is essential to our walk with God. It's something about remaining in him and him remaining in us. As I prepared for this message, I generally ask myself several questions. And most of the time, as I pray and as I seek God and as I study a particular text, it is things that God reveals in my life that may need some work. Conviction comes to pastors as well, maybe on a more so of a basis. But as I thought about the message for today, I thought perhaps somebody's hearing this morning. They hear that Jesus walks into the room, he takes a person by the hand, he lifts them up, and they're healed. They're healed. We wouldn't have to look very far or ask very far to know of somebody that is sick, to know of somebody that is struggling, to know of somebody that has a hardship, to know of somebody that has somebody in their family that is suffering with addiction or health issues or something along those lines. Yet we hear in our gospel reading today that Jesus walks in, grabs her by the hand, lifts her up, and immediately the fever's gone, she's healed. Many times over and over in the Bible, we hear of these healings, yet we have loved ones that are sick. We have loved ones that are suffering. Maybe we ourselves have health issues, problems. Maybe we have family members that are suffering with some sort of addictions, issues in their life. We've asked God to remove it. We've invited Jesus to come in and be part of the situation, and hopefully he will take his hand and touch them and it'll be gone. But it's still here. Our problems are still here. Jesus says, in this world you'll have trouble, you'll have trials, you'll have tribulation. But he says, be of good cheer, that he has overcome the world. Amen. Paul, he had an issue, remember? Many times people speculate on what it was. I don't know what it was. The Bible don't clearly say. But Paul had some sort of issue, and he wanted God to do something about it. And he asked God, how many times?
Three.
Not one, two, but three times. What did God say to Paul? He said, my grace is sufficient for you. And he also said that his power was made perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. I want you to think, I'm running over on time, let's wrap this up. I want y'all to think a minute about Peter's mother-in-law. She was down and out, she was in the bed, she had this fever. She was sick. Much like all of us before we met Jesus. We all had a sickness. The Bible says, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we were all sick in sin. It had a hold of us, much like the impure spirit that we heard about. But when we cried out to Jesus, we invited him into our heart. He came and he took us by the hand and he lifted us up. He rescued us from the pit. I've just met most all of you this morning. Y'all don't know me, and I don't know y'all. It might surprise y'all to know that for 41 years of my life, I was an alcoholic and a drug addict. I lived in every way of the world. It was all about me. I did what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, and how I wanted to do it, with no regard for anything else. But on January the 22nd of 2015, I realized that I needed a Savior.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ, come to me where I was at. I didn't think there was, and they probably was not, anybody for miles and miles around. I was in the middle of a national forest. Jesus Christ came to where I was at, and he took me by the hand, and he lifted me up, and he restored my soul. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, If anyone is in Christ Jesus, that they're a new creation, that the old is gone, the new has come. That's what it says. It didn't take very long after Jesus had lifted me up for people to know that there was something going on. Something was new, something was different, something was changed. I was set free. I no longer spoke like I did. I no longer had the vocabulary I did. I no longer treated people like I used to treat people. There was a change. And the Bible says that if anyone is in Christ Jesus, that they will be a change. There'll be a change. I ask you this morning as I close. It's a beautiful group of people. Have you experienced that change? It's pretty simple. Have you experienced that change in your life? Have you experienced fullness with God? We can believe in God, we can give our life to God, but we can still not be fully surrendered to God and what He wants to do in and through our lives. And until we are, we won't experience His fullness. Have you allowed Jesus to touch you? Have full control of your life, every bit of it, not just some parts of it. Full control. Have we been healed from our sickness of sin? Remember what happened to Peter's mother-in-law in her gospel reading? Jesus took her by the hand. He lifted her up. He healed her. And what did she do? She started serving. She started serving. I want to close with this morning. It's a beloved hymn. It's number 367 in our hymnal. He touched me. Shackled by a heavy burden. Boy, ain't that true? Shackled by a heavy burden. Neath a load of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I ain't the same no more. You ain't either. If Jesus has touched you. Since I met this blessed Savior, oh Jesus, since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. That's the message that God has put in my heart. I'll shout it while eternity till eternity rolls.
Amen.
I challenge you today. Many of you have a great impact in your families, your communities, your workplace. Are you telling somebody about Jesus? Are you telling Him what He's done in your life? Are you inviting somebody into a relationship with Christ? Because I know how miserable it can be when you're separated from God. But we serve a gracious and loving God that desires for all men to be saved. And guess what? He's chosen redeemed sinners to tell the good news. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come to You once again, and as we gather here in this place, Father, I thank You for Your holy word. I thank You, Father, as it edifies, it lifts up, it encourages, it teaches, but it also cuts like a double-edged sword. It also convicts, it also brings about change. Father, I pray that each and every one gathered in this place today has experienced Your goodness, Your grace, and Your mercy. And Father, if there's anyone that is unsure today, Your word says today is the day of salvation. Father, we thank You. We love You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Kevin had mentioned to me a ministry moment. Let's make time for the Lord. I always encourage in every message that I bring at the church in which I serve. I encourage the people there that if God has spoken to you in any kind of way today, It may have been on the way in this morning as you've seen that beautiful sun coming up and this great day in which God has given us. It may have been as you met somebody in the parking lot and they said something to you and God spoke to you in a way. It may have been as we prepared ourselves for worship, as we gathered here. It may have been as we listened to this couple sing that wonderful song. It may have been through the prayer that was coming. If God has spoken to you in any kind of way today, I just ask you to respond to it. However you see fit. Just don't let it pass you by. And you don't have to do it here. You can do it wherever you want. I just encourage people to respond to God if He has spoken to you in any kind of way today. We'll give a few moments just for time for the Lord, and then we'll move into our closing hymn.